You know you're kind of a big deal, right?
Bitch, yes I do. That's because I consider fisting first base. But you do know you're kind of a big deal too.
Well, that's because I respect the process. Duh.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
This is Kind of a Big Deal podcast with Terry Miller and Douglas Parks.
Yo, people.
Hello, good people, and welcome to another episode of Kind of a Big Deal. I am Terry Miller, and I am with my co-host,
Doug Parks.
The cool Doug Parks. He doesn't think he's very cool. Sometimes.
Yeah. It depends on what it is. It's usually the stuff that I prize in myself that when other people don't acknowledge it, it upsets me or it makes me feel bad. Because then I'm like, if I don't have that, then I'm nothing. And my mind automatically goes there.
Like what?
I don't know. For instance, like, let's say something happened and a friend needs help with something, like maybe like building a bar for their wedding. And I'm like, yeah, I know how to, I'm a wood craftsman. I can build furniture. I can build you a bar for your wedding. And then it comes down to like, they really don't trust me. They're like, I just want to buy a bar or we'll like rent a bar. This is just one situation, you know? So they ended up letting me build the bar. And they said they never could have bought anything as beautiful as what I built them. And they actually put the thing in their house. So, like, it's people that think, like, you know, I have somebody stand here telling me that they can make me something beautiful and I love it, but I don't believe them. I don't trust them. And it makes me personally feel bad, even though it's just their own shit, you know?
I could see that.
But it happens with everybody, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I told you I can cut your hair. Now, if I knew I was going to fuck your hair completely up and you were going to look like shit, I never would have said I could do it, you know? But I think it's a decent haircut for not being able to get your hair cut right now. It's a lot better than some people, you know? I don't think you like it, but,
you know? It's a lot better than what it could have been.
Yeah. And also, I didn't have good tools. Because when that blade was down, the blade wouldn't move at all.
Now he's blaming it on the tools.
I was blaming it on the tools yesterday.
Oh, man, guys. I don't know about him.
Yeah. But that's why I'm stupid.
I didn't say you were stupid.
That's why I'm stupid.
You did a good job with my hair. Decent job. I'm not going to give you all the, I mean, like 100% credit.
I don't want 100% credit because it's not perfect.
There's always room for improvement.
You know, but when I first started using them trimmers, it was ripping your hair out. And I looked down and the blade's not even moving. I had to adjust the blade thing in and out and then it would move, but it's still not moving properly because the thing needed grease and it was old. So it was not cutting your hair. It was just pushing it away from the blade. And it was moving too slow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was pissing me off. But I swear, if I'd have had good trimmers, I could have did a better job. But, oh well. I tried. I failed.
At least I still look hot.
Yeah.
So, what would you like to talk about today, Doug?
I don't know. I could vent for a minute.
Sure. Go ahead.
And this is a true story. I'm not making this shit up. I was going to work this morning, and I pulled out from 136 out onto Route 7, and the speed limit's 45. So, I'm going 45 miles an hour, and this blue minivan comes flying up on my back. It's like riding my ass, and I'm going exactly the speed limit. And then we get a half a mile up the road, and the speed limit drops down to 40. So I kept going 45 because I didn't feel like dealing with some irrational bitch. So I kept going 45. So I'm going 5 miles over speed limit. She's still on my ass. So we get up to where I go to work, and I turn into my job at the red light, and she gives me the finger. So instantly, I'm pissed the fuck off. So I go through the light and follow her ass. And we get down to 24, and I get up beside her, and she won't even look at me. This bitch looks like Carol fucking Baskins. She fucking looked just like her. And I'm beside her yelling, fuck you, cunt. You know, she's totally looking straight ahead. She's, like, scared at this point. Like, she gave the wrong motherfucker the finger, because now I'm going to follow her ass, right? And a part of me wanted to, but I was like, no, you got to calm your ass down and go to work, because that's where you belong. So I did, but I swear to God, she looked like Carol Baskins. And if I ever see that bitch out, I'm going to humiliate her in public. I hope it's at Walmart, because that's a perfect place to do that. Just make a big scene. Make a big scene.
You heard it here, folks. Walmart is the perfect place to make a big scene, especially at Sam's.
Yeah, don't. Let's not say that. Let's not send people to that Walmart to act crazy.
He might be a little mad with us. You know what I just realized is I said especially at Sam's, and then I was like, oh wait, Sam's Club. So people probably think we're talking about Sam's Club every time we talk about.
We are talking Walmart. About Sam's Club.
But, yeah, the one in York. York County, Pennsylvania, people.
Yeah, that'd be funny. A whole bunch of people, like the crime spree in York County, PA, Walmart shoots up. That'd be funny.
That would not be funny. That already has enough issues there. They're like got bomb threats all the time and stuff. That's
insane.
They got enough going on. So let's talk about shit.
Like actual shit?
Shit.
Like poop?
Yeah.
All right.
So a lot of people are experiencing quarantine constipation.
Yeah.
So the reason why we are experiencing quarantine constipation is because during the lockdown, our circadian rhythm, a natural process in the brain that regulates the sleep-wake cycle and repeats more or less every 24 hours, the colon has its own circadian rhythm, and that's easily disrupted by a lack of physical exercise, poor sleep, and changes in eating schedule and stress. So all things going on during this time.
Yeah, that's what I teach in yoga. If you're depressed mentally, then it depresses your whole body. All the organs in your body get depressed. So your heart, your liver, your kidney, none of them start functioning as well as they should. They're not awake. They're not alive. You know what I mean? When you do yoga and you're doing meditation and you're doing physical yoga, and then you also do karmic yoga, which is the same thing as karma. You know, the more good you do, the more better you feel. When you do bad things and evil things, it makes you feel bad. Your conscience is dark. So with all them things, like if you bring light into your body, then you give light out. You know what I mean? So that's like along them same lines. You know, your shitter isn't working as well as your feeder.
Yeah.
Because your brain's depressed, your body's depressed, your mind's depressed. So like we have to figure out a way during our quarantine to completely change and have just, maybe we could start living an imaginary life where it's almost like we stepped into the back of a wardrobe and there's a lion and a witch in there and it's like a whole new world. You know, maybe we could just start like meditating on things and learn new crafts, open up YouTube and type in that one thing that you've always wanted to learn how to do and watch a YouTube tutorial. There's plenty of them out there on all kinds of shit, you know, and get your mind involved in those positive things instead of just laying around eating while you watch TV or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I understand what you mean. So as a side note to that, it looks like you will not have to wait very much longer, because it seems like quarantine is slowly starting to end here.
Yeah.
We have four states that are actually have announced that they are starting a reopen process.
Isn't Georgia one of them?
Yes, Georgia. Yeah. It is Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, and Texas.
So it's pretty much southern ones.
Yeah.
But they've got major airports too. So like, that's my worry. Like when they open up the airports, like we can return back to work and stuff, but I don't think we should have travel between countries right now either. I don't know. I think everybody still needs to maintain distance and chill. Stay home as much as possible. Just go to work and come back. Just on that level. You know what I mean? I don't think we should fully reopen.
Yeah. And it's not, none of the states is a full reopen. It's just slowly starting to get back into the process. So, like they put in an order where like salons can open back up, different things can open back up, and it's a slow process. Like your restaurants still aren't going to be full force yet, your bars aren't going to be open back up, things like that. But it's just adding a little bit more to what is still open right now. So it's just slowly moving towards reopening up the whole entire state. Today, Larry Hogan announced that Friday he is putting through an order to start the reopen process of Maryland. But the first step, of course, is making sure that all the tests are readily available and people are allowed to get tests when they need to get tests. So that's the first step.
If anybody needs face masks, I got a friend of mine selling them, and she's got them custom, like with all kinds of sports teams and different stuff like that. But I'll post a link to it on my on the Facebook page and on Instagram and stuff like that, so you guys can look for it on there.
Awesome.
I'll do that later. I don't want to do it right now, but I'll do it. I have a really good mask. She's been making them homemade at home because like she has her own farm. And when she can't sell her meat or her produce or all that stuff that she grows, whatever, when she can't sell that stuff or whatever she does with it, like she's not making money.
Yeah.
You know, that's her livelihood. So she doesn't have like workers' comp she can draw if she gets hurt, or unemployment when she's unemployed. She just doesn't have the money. So the stimulus check, of course, helps. So she took the stimulus check and went and got all her materials so that she could get 3 or 4 months worth of paychecks and stuff to help keep her through all this. So she's making the masks. And they're really good. Nice awesome. Quality.
So Shake Shack returns their $10 million PPP loan.
What is that?
So the federal government gave small businesses a PPP loan. I'm not exactly sure what the PPP stands for, but it's the federal government or the federal government's loan to help small businesses.
But you know, this, my head's rolling now with, you know, all the other shit. Like, I think this is a way for governments to own all these small businesses. They're like, if you can't pay this back, you have to do this, you have to do that. And they're going to force, you know what I mean? Like the people that are in charge, the people, I'm putting up air quotes.
Yeah.
Like it's all a game. They're playing a strategic game of chess, and this virus shows up all of a sudden. And the fear of this virus is 100 times greater than what the virus needs to be feared from. You know what I mean? Doing everything we're doing is good. That's what we need to do. But at the same time, it doesn't take away from the fact that this virus, I believe, was fucking done on purpose by someone for some reason. And they're going to use all this fear to get people to take this money and always owe this little bit of money. And then, you know, that's how my mind works with it.
No, I agree with you. Actually, I've been told by a couple of people, because I know people that own small businesses, and one of the stipulations of this loan is everybody has to be back to work by June 30th, or you actually have to pay them back. Like, you have to pay money out of your company towards the government.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's like rules and stuff for everything, and that's where they'll start fucking you up if they don't stop this quarantine or whatever by June 30th, and companies start bringing people back, then they're at risk because they could probably get lawsuits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
definitely,
they don't think about things clearly, I don't think.
Well, there's always little written words hidden in print that people don't read, and that's what jams them up. You know, all the legal guard jargon that just fucking gets you in the ass.
Yeah. And so Shake Shack actually returned the $10 million PPP loan because of the rise in the debate of why chains restaurants were getting it. They're not a small business, but they were getting this loan. So when this rose, Shake Shack decided that they were going to return theirs. And now other reported that other chains had gotten it, such as McDonald's.
Yeah.
And they kept it. I mean, when you're run by greedy ass people, you're going to keep it.
Yeah.
But Shake Shack decided that they were going to return it.
I mean, these large corporations are already getting major tax breaks.
Yep.
So what, you can't give back right now when it's important? It's not right. And we as a people need to not support these companies anymore. That's really where it comes from. You know, like, do you have any idea of a large enough group of people said, I'm not going to have cable anymore, or I'm not going to buy coffee out anymore? Or let's say cell phone companies. These cell phone bills are outrageous.
Oh.
If everybody said, we're shutting our cell phones off, these cell phone companies will come to their fucking knees. They will be like, all right, then we'll bring the prices down. We'll give you the service for a lot cheaper. And then we'll negotiate to give us that service because they're making an arm and a leg.
You know? Yeah.
And they're doing it because the people keep going out there and getting it. Oh, everybody has to have the new iPhone. They advertise it before it comes out, and it's got these cool, slick commercials. And everybody's like, yes, I got to have this new iPhone because now it has an extra camera. Mine doesn't have two cameras or three cameras. I got to have it. You know, so they go and get this new iPhone. They stay in debt to these companies. And these companies make you think you have to have it. You know, I had my last iPhone for 4 years. And then I went to Samsung Galaxy for 3 years, and then I went back to Apple. But I don't have to have the top of the line when it was coming out. I could have waited 2 more days and got the brand new one. But I was like, fuck that. I don't even know if that shit's going to work right because it's brand new. I'll get one of these ones that's proven all year long that it's good. You know what I mean? But yeah, if everybody stand together, it'll change, but nobody will do it. People don't do it. They don't fucking do it.
And I don't think chain restaurants should have gotten it anyways. It was for small businesses.
Yeah, it should have been for small businesses.
Not for chains.
That's just more money that's going to be owed back.
Yeah.
That's just greater the depression we're going to have. Because we are going to have a bad depression.
They don't fucking care. It's money in their pocket. And everybody knows that fucking the owners of McDonald's are fucking greedy ass motherfuckers. But they don't care.
I don't even go to McDonald's anymore because
they have really shitty fast food that gives me the fucking shits.
It doesn't bother my body like that. I actually love eating McDonald's food. Like, I love the taste. But every time I go there, they fuck up something. How hard? You know what I order? I order a number 3, which is a double quarter pounder. And I ask them to add bacon and mac sauce to it. That's not a hard order. All you're doing is taking a burger that you're making anyway and just adding 2 things to it that are already right in front of you in little trays and a little squirty gun. I used to work at McDonald's. I know how you work. It's not that fucking hard. Every fucking time you fuck it up, though. That's ridiculous. Like, and you know people are going to be driving down the road heading to work, so they're not going to turn around and come all the way back to get fucking bacon or mac sauce put on their sandwich because you forgot. You know, so you're just totally fucking people anyway. Bunch of assholes. Like, and if you call them bitch, you're like, when you come in next time, just ask the front lady and she'll give you a refund or a new meal or replace it. And I've done that before. And when you get back in there, like, she's like, well, your name's not in the book. Of course it's not in the book, you lying fucking cunt. Because whoever I talked to 3 weeks ago when I was in here said, your name will be in the book whenever you come in next time. And they didn't put the fucking name in the book because they know chances are they can just say, well, it wasn't me you talked to. Because I'm on the phone. I don't know what your ass looks like.
Yeah.
It's just fucking gag games and fucking bullshit. You know?
Agreed.
It's bullshit. I ranted twice tonight.
That's all right, baby. We got plenty more time.
But it's the McDonald's in Riverside. You fucking suck.
Oh. You just put them out there like that?
Bell Camp, Riverside, right beside ShopRite. The big old one they just remodeled. Can't get shit fucking right. And your fucking manager is a fucking asshole.
Facts.
Yes.
I don't even know who he's talking
about.
And so's
the stuck up little girl at the counter when you go through the first drive through window. She just got her nails all did and they're all long and pretty. And she's just touching the screen like that and like that and like $5.99 or however the much money. And you go, she's like, ugh. Every fucking move she makes is a disgusting moment in her life. And she just keeps reliving it and reliving it. I don't know how this poor child exists. Like, why have you not taken a gun and blowed your head off as depressed and fucking angry and sad as you are? I'm serious. They're fucked up attitudes over nothing. When I had my first job in the restaurant for my uncle who owned Harvey's Bar and Harvey's Jr., when I got my first cooking job, that was where I, well, actually no, McDonald's was my first cooking job. That was my senior year of high school. But my real first kitchen job was, but when I worked at McDonald's, I didn't treat people like that. People loved when I was working drive-through because I would joke and kid around and everything, you know, and really just like mess with them. And they were always in a good mood. And if they weren't in a good mood or anywhere, a bad mood for some reason, I would always compliment them or say something to make them smile. It's not that fucking hard.
Yeah.
I had this one lady give me $100 tip one time. She's like, you are the sweetest person that's in this drive-thru and you always make me laugh. And she said, here, this is yours. And it was $100 bill. I tried to run to the other drive-thru and give it back to her and she wouldn't take it. I'm like, I stuck it in my pocket, but like, yeah, that little stuck up little girl's got all her shit. Get your fucking shit together. The world does not owe you anything, but you owe the world a fucking better attitude than what you're giving it.
Yep.
That's how I feel.
All right. What else we got to talk about?
I need to get the oil changed in my car.
Me too, boo.
And my car told me today that the key fob for my car, the battery's at 0%. I have this other key fob. I'm going to use that for now so I don't get stuck somewhere. Because if there's no power to my key fob, will it shut my car down and not let me drive it? So next time I get my oil changed. Yeah, so I'm going to take the spare that I have. And it's just a normal key like the other one. I have them set up to be primary keys. It's not even a key. It's just this little pad thing. This little key fob.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, when I get my oil changed, I'm going to ask about the key fob. But I find it pretty interesting because, like, I found out that there's a key inside this key fob thing a little while ago because there's like a silver button that's flat on the side and I pushed it in and this key came out. And I looked all over. There is no keyhole anywhere. My door is shaved. So the door handle and stuff, like there's a button that's flat that you can push and it'll unlock the car if you got the key fob in your pocket. But there's no keyhole anywhere. So I actually Googled my key and what it does, and it showed me that part of the door handle pops off, but up underneath there's this little tiny square rectangular that the tip of the key fits in, and you got to push the key up in there, and then that thing pops off, and then it reveals a key to unlock your car. But I never thought, like, because when I first bought the car, I'm like, well, I hope this key fob doesn't get lost because I'm not going to have a way to get my car. There's no keyhole to unlock it with. So I also have the app on my phone for Chevy MyLink, and I can actually unlock my car and start it with my cell phone. So if my key fob dies, but I have to have power to the key fob or it's not going to let me drive the car.
Yeah.
So it's like a weird situation. But I love my car. It's so fancy.
Is that really where we were going with that?
No, that's just where it ended up.
Oh, okay.
I love my car and I want her to get her, you know, her props for being a good car.
Well, just so you know, I have to get an oil change too.
Yeah. Well, if you want, we can tie your car to the back of mine. When I take mine to get the oil change, I'll just take them both in at the same time. You know.
What? Oh my God. Do you even think sometimes?
Yes, that's why it's funny. Could you imagine me pulling up in the back of my car and the front of yours is all smashed up and there's a fucking rope tying them together and I'm like, change the oil in both of these, please.
I would be so mad if you fucked up my car.
I ain't fucking up my car. You're safe.
I was worried about it sitting at that end of that road. They really do need to get the road done down here because I need to put it back out there.
Sitting at the end of what road?
Because that alley. People come out that alley. People fly out that alley.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
They could fly out of that fucking alley and slam right into my car.
And then, you know, these motherfuckers will just drive off.
Yeah.
So I switched insurance companies for car insurance. I was with Allstate because my friend Penny used to work for Allstate as a sales girl. So I wanted to support her. So I switched from Progressive to Allstate. Well, the lady that manages the Allstate office where Penny worked is being a fucking cuntwad. So Penny found another job somewhere else, a better job. She's doing good. Well, the lady that runs that office called me up one day and was like, I didn't, for one thing, it showed up as Penny when she called. So she must have Penny's old phone. So I answered. I was like, what's up, babe? She's like, this is so-and-so. I said, it's showing. I didn't know who she was. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, this is my friend Penny Taylor's phone number. How'd you get my number? And she's trying to explain that Penny, she said, Penny is no longer with our office. I'll be handling all her stuff from now on. But she was being stuck up and snotty about it. And I'm like, I remember Penny telling me how this woman was. And I'm like, let me tell you something. I was like, now that Penny's not there, I was like, you lost the best fucking thing that ever was with that office. I said, and I will be finding a new insurance company. And as for you, you can go fuck yourself, you trifling bitch. I said, I'm not going to fucking tolerate you talking to me like I'm a piece of shit. I said, and you just fucking treated Penny like she was a piece of shit. I was like, you can go fuck yourself. And the woman's just like, okay, sir. Well, we don't need to have that kind of language and blah, blah, blah. And I hung up on her. I'm like, no, fuck you. So, yeah, I went and switched insurance. You know how much money I saved a month by switching?
How much?
$68.53.
Wow.
Almost $70 like cheaper. And it's the same coverage. Like, these insurance companies are ripping you off, too. Let's fucking talk about that shit.
Oh, yeah, they rape you.
Yeah, like, you know what? Everybody should have did when they had quarantine. Turned in your fucking tags to your car and dropped your insurance.
Oh,
perfect fucking time. That much insurance of a drop, and these insurance companies definitely would have fucking been like, oh shit, you know, because they need to come down with that shit too. It's insane.
Yeah, it is insane. I pay $145 a month for one car, no accidents. I'm over the age of 25, so people always be like, well, you're not even 30 yet. That's why it's so expensive. I'm over the age of 25. Oh, yeah.
25, it should drop in half. It doesn't.
And the reason that I'm given is because my car is considered a sports car. Since when is a goddamn Ford Focus considered a sports car? It's a little tiny turd with four wheels. There ain't nothing sporty about it. It's not a goddamn sports car. It's not a fucking Corvette or a Mustang or whatever the fuck else those other sports cars are. But my car is considered a sports car. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I used to have a Focus before you, and it was considered a sports sedan. And they do that so that they can fucking rape people, and it's all lies and bullshit. You know?
Yeah. It's outrageous. I'm going to see about what I can do about trading that thing in, though.
The CEO of Allstate, Tom Wilson, his compensation, if U.S. compensation, is $19 million annual base salary. So you're making $19 million a year. Well, this was in 2018. He got paid $19 million that year.
Wow. No wonder he says you're in good hands.
Oh, yeah. You are in good hands.
Yeah, rich, filthy, ignorant hands. God damn, we are so judgmental. No wonder only three people listen to this podcast.
Well,
yeah, we dropped down. Two people stopped listening.
Why?
Because of my rant.
What rant?
My rant about the generations really made people mad.
The generations?
Yeah.
people rant about my generation. I don't give a shit. It's fucking true most of the time. You know what? If it makes you mad, it's because it's true. You always hate in others what you hate about yourself. If you're mad at somebody for something, yeah, motherfucker, you're mad because it applies to your ass and you don't like it. You know, I do the same thing. I get so fucking pissed off. And I'm like, why am I so mad right now? Oh, yeah, because it's true. It applies to me. Just fucking grow a pair and deal with it. Not everybody gets a trophy.
It wasn't even millennials that was complaining, but okay.
Who was it?
Nobody.
You made it up?
Yeah, just fuck it with you. But no, our average listeners went from 4 to 3 because more episodes. But anyway, so share this with your friends and stuff so we can get some more listeners if you like us. If you don't like us, we really don't give a shit. But anyways, what else you got to talk about?
Well, the progressive salary for progressive insurance executive salaries are between $110,000 and $700,000. $700,000 is not bad to me. I don't mind giving $1 million to you or whatever, but fucking $19 million, fuck you. No wonder I was paying $60 extra a month. All right, let's move on to something else. How about, I'm into this new show called Father Brown on BritBox. I had gotten BritBox app because I love British sitcoms, especially Absolutely Fabulous, which is on there. And Are You Being Served? Keeping Up with Appearances is another awesome one of mine. And one of my favorites is Mrs. Brown's Boys. It's fucking hilarious.
Agreed.
Well, I've been watching Father Brown, and the dad that played Ron Weasley's dad in Harry Potter is Father Brown. And he's really good at it because he plays a detective, and it's almost like he has like different character faces, facial characteristics than Columbo. But they're on that same line where they're like annoying to people and getting on people's nerves, but they're solving the crime at the same time. And I like mystery stuff like that. It's pretty cool. It's also a drama. I don't know. It's awesome. But he is a Catholic priest that solves crimes before the local police department is. And the police department hates him for it. And they're always telling him to butt out. But he's always the one that solves the crimes. And it's really funny that they don't want to say, you know what? Let's make you an honorary father priest policeman. You know, FPP, yo. FPP, yo. Get that priest a badge, man. But like, yeah, I love the show. And you all should definitely check it out. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
But that's one show I'm into. What are you into lately? Anything new?
Songland came back.
Oh, yeah. I do like that.
And Songland is a show that I find cool because it's not your typical music show where it's like about the singing or whatever. This is about the songwriting and the process of songwriting, how people pick a song, how people create a song. So these artists come in that have written a song and they perform it for an artist and three producers. The producers are Esther Dean. What's his name? Oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank.
Rascal Flatts, it's his girl.
Huh?
Two guys and a girl. They're country singers.
Lady Antebellum was the first artist. Yeah. Why are you not talking into your mic?
Because I didn't want to be breathing into the mic a minute ago.
Oh. Lady Antebellum was the first guest star. And then oh my gosh, I'm going to look it up because I can't remember all their names.
Well, I like about it because you have these people up there that are going to pick one of these four songs from these people that are writing these songs. And I'm sorry, but some of the people have awesome voices. Like, they should be singing their own music, especially that guy with the beard. I love his fucking voice.
So it is Ryan Tedder, Esther Dean, and It's not Adam Levine. Adam Levine's a producer of it.
Really?
Yes. It is Shane McAnally.
Is he the gay one?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is a country music producer. So an artist comes in, they have a song, they perform it for an artist and the three producers, and it's four different artists. They pick three to work with, one with each of the producers. They revamp the song and then they re-perform the song for them. And then at the end, they pick one final song. So I really enjoy it. I think it's great. Mm. It's a good time too, because you get to see the insides of writing a song.
I saw part of one episode and I liked it so far. I want to finish watching that episode. I don't know what one it was.
That was episode one of season two.
Yeah. Have you been watching any more of it?
No.
Do I need to catch up? Yeah. Well, I want to watch season one, but right now I want to just stay with season two. Cause it's one of those series where you can come in at any season and watch it.
Yeah.
It's not like the zombie one.
Walking Dead.
Like, I saw the first three seasons, but I haven't seen anything since then. And there's so much that I've missed. So when we're watching it, I feel like I'm annoying the shit out of you with all these questions, like, because I don't know what's going on.
Oh, believe me, you are.
And, like, I don't want to do that, so I try to shut up. But there's so much I don't know. So I'm like, I'm not even into this because I need to go back and catch up. But, like, with American Idol and stuff like that, you can pretty much just jump in wherever and be fine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or Golden Girls or Designing Women. You can start off at whatever season you want, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like sitcoms and stuff, you can kind of do that. More shows where they're like building characters and building storylines, like The Walking Dead, Legacies that I was watching the other day, and that was like, I think like three episodes in, and you were like, well, I didn't see it from the first one, so I can't watch it now. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but that annoys me. Like, to sit there, like, there's certain shows are like that, you know, like, I'm trying to think, like, Will and Grace. As long as I went, when Will and Grace came back, as long as I watched the first episode so I can see where we're coming from, I can just skip around and watch whatever percent I want, and they're all funny, because they're not really building a storyline. Yeah. You know, they kind of do have one, because characters evolve through whatever, and they might reference something, but it's not as bad as something like The Walking Dead, where they're dramatically building all this different stuff. You come in at season nine. Isn't it season nine now?
No, season 10.
Season 10. So I'm even further away from season three. So that's seven seasons that I have no clue what happened. That's dramatic, you know?
No, you know, I get what you mean. I'm just saying that, like Legacies was three episodes in, and you were like, nope, not doing it.
Not gonna do it.
Not gonna do it at all.
Not gonna.
So, is there anything else you would like to discuss?
I don't know. My big toe, I think I have an ingrown toenail.
Oh, I definitely have one.
I had one on the right toenail like a few months ago, and I was going to dig it out because it hurt really bad, but I just soaked it in some vinegar for about a half an hour while I was on the shitter playing on my phone, and it actually healed itself. So I need to do the same thing with the one that's on the other foot now.
Did it heal itself, or was it not actually an ingrown toenail?
It was an ingrown toenail, but I could feel it like grow toward the outside. And it like, when I was like going to clip my toenails, because they were long, it just came right off. And you could see where the toenail had split and went down toward, but it must have been split, broke off, but was inside my toenail, still my toe, like inside the skin. And it just grew out enough to fall off, but it was hurting while it was in there because it got infected. So me soaking it in vinegar killed the infection, and the pain went away because that's why I was hurting. But it just grew out and came off. It'll do that, but it fucking hurts. Like, most people have them surgically removed, but I don't want to have anything on my body cut if I can handle it, you know. But
I had mine.
Yeah.
Now they didn't cut me. They numbed my toe and then they cut down the side of the nail.
Yeah.
And then put this like acid in there to kill the root on that side. So it didn't grow through that side. That's how my right foot was done.
My dad had issues when he was my age. He had all his toenails removed.
What?
And then like he had this medicine they put on his feet, and because he had real bad athlete's feet and stuff like that, so his nails had become brittle and broken apart. Now I had a pallet fall on my big toes, and they turned black, and like I didn't ever have them. I didn't put needles in them to relieve the pressure, so the nail bed got damaged, and when it grew out, it was separated. It was all weird and funky, and I made that mistake. So when the nails grew out, now they're just, they don't grow flat. You know how like a nail's flat when you rub it?
Yeah.
Mine has ridges that go up and down, you know? And it also, that comes from poor diet when I was younger too, because I ate crap. But since I am on a diabetic diet because I'm pre-diabetic, I changed my diet. I can see that my nails are growing out better because I'm eating healthier and eating better.
Hmm. Yeah. He does eat a lot differently with me. I mean, you kind of do.
Well, it was a year and a half ago. I had completely changed everything I eat and the way I eat. You know, because I stood up. I was having all these weird issues and didn't know what was. I was tired. I was peeing constantly. I always had to pee. Going to the bathroom was weird because it would either never happen, and I've really had to. It was like my body was acting weird, and it all linked to my diabetes. And for some reason, my testosterone had dropped and my estrogen shot up. So my nipples were sore and I was emotional, and it was weird because I'm usually not like that bad, but I would like flip out about the dumbest shit and just start crying and be upset. And like I was acting all weird, and all my friends are like, "What is wrong with you?" I'm like, "I don't know." Well, they found out, period. Yeah, they found out my estrogen has shot up and my testosterone dropped. And it could be from smoking weed, because I smoked a lot of weed back then. And that'll do it. That'll raise your estrogen and lower your testosterone. So I stopped smoking weed for a while and gave that up, and I completely changed my diet to a diabetic diet. And oh God, I had so much energy. I was healthy. I was better mood. I started thinking more clearly. That's probably why I left my ex, because I realized he was a piece of shit. I'm like, fuck him, you know? So I was like, I gotta go, because this motherfucker's cray cray, and if I stay here, I'm gonna end up in prison. And I knew it, so I had to leave, you know? But I think eating healthy and having a healthy mindset is very important in dealing anything you face. You should, like, you find out you have something by a doctor, Google the diet that goes with that, and also Google herbs, fruits, and foods that you should be eating to help you with that. Because there's things like celiac, there's things like depression, anxiety. There's different herbs and foods that help you with anxiety and help you with depression. So you should be eating more of those things, because your body's naturally lacking that stuff. Don't run to the doctors and get prescriptions. First, do the work to figure out how you can naturally heal yourself at all, if possible, first. If that doesn't work, then do what you have to. But running to get a prescription shouldn't be the first priority.
I agree with that.
And I think doctors need to stop selling out to prescription companies and start being doctors. Start talking to your fucking patients. Start listening to your patients. And start looking for other ways to heal them without cramming meds down their fucking throat.
Oh, that's all they do.
Greedy assholes.
All they want to do is give you meds, give you meds.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right. So we are going to
go eat dinner.
Wrap it up.
Awesome. Sauce. So, all right. Till next time, we love you. We are here for you if you ever want to talk. hop on Facebook, hop on Twitter, and send us a message. Get to know us. Maybe we can chill out when all this is over. We love you.
And always be a big fucking deal.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Follow Kind of a Big Deal on Facebook at Kindcast or fb.me/kindcast. You can also follow the podcast Instagram and Twitter at kind_cast. Check out our podcast anchor page at anchor.fm/kindofabigdeal. Follow Terry Miller on Instagram and Twitter at terrymiller91. And on TikTok at Terry Clay Miller Jr. Follow Doug Parks on TikTok at DouglasParks7. XOXO, stay true. This has been a production of Claywater Productions. Listen to our other podcasts, Off the Beaten Path, Tackled, Kind of a Big Deal, Carpool Podcast, and Tea Time with Paul Douglas. You can listen to all of our podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you enjoy listening to podcasts. Bye!